Hi, journalist. I'm Daria. Nice to meet you, and very welcome to drewmetal.it. How are you doing today?
Good. We're doing good.
Okay, good, great. And currently you are touring with Wallbeat in Europe, and now you are having a short break, I guess. And besides all these interviews, how do you spend your time?
I mean, yeah, we're really not on break. We're working, you know, actually pretty long days, so... I mean, we're doing 6 days of promotion, and then we go back to Berlin, and we have some long rehearsal days before the next leg of the tour starts.
Yes.
So
any chance to see the places as tourists? No.
Once in a while, but it depends on if we're in a cool place and we have a day off.
And
you know?
If we're hungover or not.
Yeah, that and being hungover.
Okay, great. And listen, only a couple of weeks ago you were in Milan. What can you tell me about the show?
It was a great show.
It was
the first show on the Wallbeat tour.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you know, we made a lot of. I think we made a lot of new fans.
Yeah.
And we played our asses off, and it was fun.
Yes. Great, great. And you started also selling the limited edition, hand-numbered edition, large red vinyl at that show. How it was welcomed by your fans?
I mean, they're into it, you know. It's obviously for a special type of fan. I know there are people out there that love to collect vinyl, so it's not really for everybody, but you know, it is something that's selling well, and they seem very happy with it.
Oh, great, great. And then also 2 weeks ago you released the lyric video for the title track Blades of Babylon. What feedback you have got from your fans and critics so far?
I think it's been pretty good. I mean, I haven't really... I think on the second day I checked the comments and stuff, and everybody seemed to be overwhelmingly positive. I know we're getting great feedback from journalists, and we're getting, you know, I mean, we know it's good, and we got feedback from our friends and families that, you know, think it's really great, so, I mean, we're certainly on the right track.
Oh, great, great. And talking about the album title, it's quite biblical, but the topic seems, anyhow, quite current in our days, as looking today's world, it seems to be a huge Babylon Tower. So is this the main theme and concept of your album?
Yeah, well, it's certainly, I mean, for the first six songs, it is. And maybe, you know, I mean, I think it is relevant in today, but it's, you know, it is, at the end of the day, it's a horror story, and it's the, you know, sci-fi and fantasy thing that we came up with. It's like, you know, we put it in place in the framework of the Something Wicked universe. So that story and all its other incarnations has a lot to do with reality, but it also has a lot to do with, you know, multi-dimension life and, I mean, many things. It's really quite a heavy subject. So that's... You're right about the comparisons to old Babylon, and I believe that the Western world is kind of the new Babylon, and we're continually repeating history, it looks like. So.
Yes, unfortunately, that's true. And according to you, John, half of the album, as you mentioned, is focused on the concept, while the other half will be standalone songs. What can you tell me about these standalone songs, about the themes and why you choose those ones, starting from the track If I Could See You?
Yeah, I mean, we just had, there was other song ideas, and we were able to tell the story that we wanted to tell within these first six songs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with the band Rush, but Stu and I were fans of Rush growing up and still are, and there was a few albums that they did where they would have a concept on one side and individual tracks on the other, and we thought that was cool. And even though, you know, this is too long to make that happen on vinyl, it's still the same idea. And you know, it's basically it gives us a lot of dynamic on the album. You know, the Plagues of Babylon part of the album is really, really dark and really heavy and really fierce. And it's also, you know, in order to send people on the normal kind of emotional roller coaster that we do with Iced Earth Records, we have to have a few ballads in there, and we have to have some more dynamics and you know, mid-tempo stuff happening and that kind of thing. So, I mean, there's, you know, it's all about the journey with an Iced Earth record. It's not about just one thing. It's about the entire experience, and I hope people listen to it as an album front to back, you know, from the beginning to the end, because I think it's a really great journey, and I mean, a lot of our fans actually expect that, so I expect it to be the case. But, you know, when you have these streaming systems and iTunes and all that kind of stuff, then it changes the dynamic of it. But
yeah, that's true. So because, you know, the people can pick up different songs, and maybe they don't ever hear the whole album. So let's hope they will take it from the start to the end.
Yeah,
listen to it a couple of times. Okay, and what else you can tell me about the songwriting process? I mean, how you did it, and where were you, in what situation and atmosphere?
Well, we started writing in Uruguay a few months ago, John and I, and you know, the writing process, like, for as far as what I collaborate, how I collaborate with John, it's always been a good chemistry. You know, I help out with writing lyrics, and I help out with writing melody and all that kind of stuff, and we bounce ideas off of each other. So we started doing the very detailed demos in Uruguay, and then we ended up eventually rehearsing in Germany.
Yeah.
So there was still, I mean, we were still writing lyrics all the way up until we were recording and stuff like that, and there's always little magical things that happen, I'm sure, in every level of the music that happen during the recording process. But yeah, it was very fun. We had a good time doing it. John and I love sci-fi and horror movies and all that kind of stuff, so we felt it was a really fun subject to write about with those first six songs.
Yeah.
And of course, the standalone songs were really fun to write also, because we could deal with several different subject matters. But yeah, so it was a really, really cool thing that we accomplished, and we had fun doing it.
Oh, great. And in the studio, I mean, you said that the part of the lyrics, they were coming in while in the studio. So any stories to tell me about it? I mean, how long time you spent in the studio, and how went it?
Well, I think actually they were done except for that one.
There was just one. I mean, but yeah, but you know, I mean, there was, I'm sure, maybe little things that, you know, changed, you know, words here and there. You know, we
yeah,
had to
I mean, that happens. You know? That's you know, that's different. I mean, that happens. That also happens on a musical level when you get in there and you're doing it for you know, for real, and it's going
yeah.
to tape. And sometimes ideas spark right in the heat of the moment, or you realize that part's really not working, because
yeah.
in the studio you're in such a controlled environment, you can really hear things a lot better than like. And we were in a bedroom of a guest house, you know,
yeah.
with very limited gear, but we still did really cool detailed demos. But it's not the same, you know, when you're in the heat of the moment and everything's happening, and it's the for real take. Then little things can change, but
yeah.
you know, there was one song where I had to scratch down the last verse because I actually forgot.
Sure.
I hadn't written it yet. So
yeah, sure, and the result is what counts at the end.
Yeah, lots of little magical moments. I mean, you know,
and then then making it a reality is the mix. You know, that's the
great.
It's the tracking is a whole different entity, and mixing is a whole different entity, and so is mastering. They're all very different from each other.
Yes, that's true. And if you should describe this album with three words, only three words, what would they be?
Fucking heavy metal.
Fucking metal.
Heavy
okay.
fucking metal. However you
want to
put it.
But I hope to hear also epic, but okay, that would be the fourth. A word.
Epic fucking metal.
There you
oh.
go.
That's great. Sounds good. Promising.
Evil fucking metal.
Evil. Okay, now there are many words, but okay, all good. Very good for this album. How does this album differ from your latest studio album, Dystopia, that came out two years ago?
Well, we said it once and we said it before. The title, the lyrics, the
yeah,
music, it's all different.
Yeah, there's different songs.
Different songs.
Everything, basically, great.
No, the biggest difference, I mean, the chemistry was there, and the, you know, it's an Iced Earth production, so it is what it is. But my goals in production for this album were to make it, you know, heavier and more raw and dirtier somehow. And not, I mean, we already started going down that road with Dystopia to make it not overproduced, and I think the goal this time was to try to take it even back a little bit further, so it was more raw and heavy and punchy. But you know, I think the biggest difference is in the rhythm section and then the way that we mix the drums, bass, and rhythm guitar, and you know, to make bass and drums more present, but not to get in the way of the big army of guitars that happened there. So I mean, it's kind of a, it's really just a, I think it's a mixing issue. I mean, it is a source recording also, but you know, those were the biggest, really the biggest differences. I mean, we did use three different studios on this album, so I mean, and I worked with four different engineers. So I mean, that's also
that makes also the change, of course, the way of working. Yeah, great. And this is also the first studio release with bassist Luke and drummer Raphael. How they have changed the band sound, if any?
I would say they've changed the band sound. They've just brought it another flavor to it. You know, it's but Raphael stepped in a difficult situation and helped us out. You know, I mean, Luke has been in the band for a while now, and he's an extremely talented bass player, and he came up with super melodic bass lines. And you know, I mean, we've had good bass players in the past, but I really wanted to feature some of the cool stuff that Luke was playing. So, did it change the sound? I don't know. Yeah, I guess sure, but it's still very clearly Iced Earth. So it's not really a change. It's just another color that's been added. And it's a great one, you know, it fits really well.
Yeah.
And Raphael, you know, again, he came in, he helped us out in a difficult time Stu and I were already knee-deep in the writing process and doing demos when we heard that Brent was going to have to step out of the band. And
yeah.
I mean, we love Brent, he's our brother, and he may come back, you know, we don't really know yet what's happening with his life. He's been in and out of the band more through the years. I think this is the third time, but, you know, We always love the dude, and but the band has to machine, you know, it has to move forward, and Raphael was able to step in and help us out with the album and a few shows, so it's good.
Okay, great. Time will tell. The future will tell.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, and the album was originally set to be released this month, but of course you are touring. You are a touring machine, so you have many commitments all the time, and so therefore it will come out next January. We are Century Media, but please tell me how this long waiting may eat the enthusiasm about the release itself.
Well, I don't think it's that long, actually. If you think about when we really wrapped up recording, it would have been very difficult to get it out this year for the label to do a proper setup. I mean, it's typically a 3-month turnaround time from the time the master goes in until it hits the shelves.
Yeah.
And this is a little bit longer than that, but it would have had to. I wanted to get it out in October, but that was impossible. I wanted it out in October because we're on tour with Volbeat, and I wanted something new to be available out there.
Of course.
But, you know, we hope that the people from those shows are going to remember us and look for it when it does come out. But, you know, that to have it out, it would have, for the label to be able to do a decent job, they would have had to release it in December. And Christmas time is really tough for chart positions. For a band like us, you're always dealing with these, you know, superstore stars putting out best ofs, and they take up all the end caps in the stores and the, you know, that kind of stuff, and it really fucks with your ability to do a good chart position, which is important for us, and you know, for us to be able to get a better position in the stores, and you know, there's a lot of things that come with it. So I mean, that's why we had to wait until early January.
Yeah,
it just is the only thing that made sense.
Yes, that's true. And now about the album cover that was created by Eliran Kantor. It's quite impressive, and so what you want to tell me about the idea behind it, and because it seems to fit perfectly into the album concept.
Yeah, that was the idea. I mean, Elrond contacted my management, and wanted to get in touch with me to see if he could do art with us or for us, because he's an iSurf fan.
Yeah.
And so I had, you know, I looked at his work, thought I was very impressed with it, and I had correspondence with him, and you know, I needed to see how he would draw Seth, or you know, who's been on our album cover many times, and he's, you know, it's a big part of this story of the Plagues of Babylon. And I already had the album concept and everything in mind, what the design needed to be. And so he, you know, we started, basically after I saw how he would approach Seth, because he has a different style. I mean, Seth's always been done in a comic book style form. And
yes,
he has a very realistic look. So it was important that it looked, that he looked really evil and not, you know, not soft and not corny, you know. I mean, it had to translate into something that was pretty spooky. And,
yeah,
and Elrond obviously got that. He understands the band. He's a fan of the band, and, you know, he did a great job. We went back and forth a lot on the cover and got it to where I was very happy with it. And I think it's one of our best covers ever. And then
he's
done some really kick-ass art on the interior part of the album as well. So you have, you know, you have really great panel art for each song. It fits the music killer. So
yeah,
it's good to be working with him, man.
Yeah, yeah. That's the best possible way, you know, when you don't even need to say anything and the other person understands perfectly what you want. That's the perfect idea. Okay, we talked already a bit about your sound, which is very epic, and it has always been. And we can say that it has become as an Ice Earth trademark, or do you agree?
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
No doubt.
And what is your secret?
I don't know. I eat a lot of cranberries.
Lots of pizza.
I actually have no idea. It just comes, man. I just follow my instincts, and I put a lot of pressure on myself and try to work as hard as I can to make everything we do the best. And that's, you know, sometimes I hit the mark and sometimes I don't, but, you know, it's always been the goal. And you know, we just keep punching
and keep on doing it, because you are doing it very well. So listen, now we are talking about the tours. You recently announced your headlining world tour for next year to support your new album. What can you tell me about it? I mean, how will you prepare the set list?
I mean, for a headlining tour, you mean?
Yes, you're talking about January.
Yeah,
I mean, there's so many songs. I mean, I know John really leads the charge on that, and I'm sure we try to pick out, for the headlining tour, for sure, we want to feature a lot of the new songs.
Yes.
Because there's a new album out, and we want to feature a lot of the old classics, and it's a tough one for John, and, you know.
Yes.
It is, because we have so many albums out, and we have fans from different eras, and I talk to the guys about it, because, and you know what's cool is Luke actually has a lot of good input on that, because he's young, and he's been such an enthusiastic Iced Earth fan for so long, and basically his family, his dad and his brother are too, and, you know, he grew up with this stuff, so he's always like, yeah, but, you know, he sees it from a different point of view, from more,
still
has that fan feeling, and it's cool.
Yeah. And how much you will play, I mean, how long will be the set list?
I'd say 90 minutes, maybe a little longer, but, you know, we have a long, hard tour, and we can't really burn ourselves out, so we, you know, I mean, we were doing a couple hours before, but I think it was too much, and we've got some shows where we're doing, you know, like, really long stretches, you know, 10, 11, 12 shows in a row or something, and that's crazy. That's really hard on Stu. It's hard on everybody. It's hard on the crew. It's hard on, you know, you need a break, and so I think, you know, 90 minutes of serious powerhouse stuff is going to be, you know, realistic. There's two other bands on the bill too, so, but, you know, if it's a really amazing crowd, we may do a double encore or something like that.
Great.
More.
We
usually do, but
and you will enter, in fact, European stages again on January, supported by Waterbringer and Elm Street. And on January 23rd, we will see you again here in Italy. So this brings us to the last question, and the word is yours. What are your greetings to your Italian fans and TrueMetal.ig readers?
Looking forward to playing for you guys. Italy's always been a fun place to play.
Best memory, maybe.
We love the women, we love the food.
Yeah.
And the wine.
And by we, you know.
We, I mean, me. Yeah. No, it's a joke. It's not really. It's like half a joke. I'll stop. I'm just going to stop. But we love the wine. It's all good. The three W's.
Yeah, I mean, the first show was in Milan that we played with Volbeat, and I think we made some new fans. So hopefully those guys come out and check out the headlining show and get their asses kicked.
Oh, great. And I tried to be there as well. So maybe we have another chat there. So listen, I know that you will have a long day ahead of you. So I thank you, John and Stu, for this very nice chat, and all the best for this sort of break, and then to the tours and the release, of course.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Have a nice day. Bye bye. Bye bye.